Now you may want to get your New Testament out. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. On this occasion, the Apostle Paul is referring to the events of the first letter he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 5 concerning the sexually immoral man that they had received into their fellowship. He had admonished them. He convicted them of sin because they had not withdrawn themselves from that individual. There were other things in the first epistle that he wrote where he was critical of the brethren there in Corinth. Now, you know that he's specifically referring to this particular thing, however, because he makes reference to that in verse 6. The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. And so he says that they ought to forgive him, verse 7, and reaffirm their love to him in verse 8. So they had obviously repented of that arrogance and that sin, as they were tolerant of that individual, and had withdrawn from him, as Paul had told them to do. And as a result of that, he had repented of his sin, and now they were to receive him back. But I want to notice especially what is stated in verse 4, as the Apostle Paul talks about the letter that he had written. I want you to notice his motivation and his state of mind in writing that letter. He said, verse 4, he said, "Out of much affliction in anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." Now, this concept of grief, and in fact, in the 7th chapter of that same epistle, he talks about the fact that he was sorry that he had caused them sorrow, that he had caused them this godly sorrow that led to repentance. Sorry that they had been grieved, that they had been sorrowful, but not sorry because it had led to their repentance. And so his motivation was not to cause the grief. His motivation was to correct them because of the love that he had for them. I wish that every individual who was approached to be admonished would have that same recognition that the Corinthians obviously had concerning the motivation of Paul. They had vindicated themselves. They had proved themselves when they were made aware of the sins that they had committed. It's not the case that everyone looks at it that way. But I would like for everyone to consider that this evening. If when a brother or sister comes to you and says you've sinned, there's something that is amiss and wrong in your life, they're not telling you that because they're wanting to grieve you, to make you sorrowful. They're not telling you that to anger you, or for you to feel uncomfortable. Now, we must acknowledge that when such admonitions come, they make us feel uncomfortable. They do make us sorrowful. They do cause us grief. But that's not the motivation. The reason, the state of mind of the individual that comes to you is love, care, and concern for your soul. He wants your soul to be saved. If he wanted you to be merely happy and without conflict, then he might not would speak a word. But he is aware of the fact that if sin is present, that sin can condemn you for eternity. He wants to make sure that you're not lost. And so he's willing to cause the grief, though he does not desire it. Willing to cause the sorrow, though it grieves him that he does make you unhappy and sorrowful. Willing to do it because he loves your soul. Have that understanding of why it is that admonition comes, and perhaps you would be more receptive to it, or willing to consider what it is that he has to say. Examine your life in light of his contention to see whether or not there's any legitimate truth, validity to it. And if so, they could bring you to repentance and as a result cause your soul to be saved. So when we offer an invitation, anytime we do, it's for two reasons. One is because we think there may be someone in the audience who's not a Christian. We know that individuals who are not Christians, they're going to go to hell because they are not children of God, because they're lost. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, we don't say that because we want to cause them discomfort or sorrow or unhappiness. We say it because we want them to escape the consequence of their sins, to repent of their sins, confess Christ as Lord and be baptized, to have their sins washed away so they can rise to walk in a new life and be able to rejoice in the hope that they have as a Christian. Second reason is because none of us are perfect. It may be that there is a Christian who has sinned in some way, and has come to the understanding of his sin and recognizes the need to respond, perhaps ask for the prayers of the congregation. Perhaps it is that something is said by way of admonition in a class, or some period of time has passed when someone has said something and you finally realize you need to make your life right. And again, such admonitions are not to cause you grief, they're to save you soul. And so we offer you an opportunity this evening to respond to the invitation call, whatever your need may be, so that you can again rejoice in the fact that you have that right and proper standing with God. If we can help you in any way to answer that call, we ask that you realize and understand our love for you and the fact that we want you to be saved. And if we can help you in that, we ask that you come. Together we stand and sing.